The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus passed by, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Son of David, have pity on us." When he entered the house, the blind men approached him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" "Yes, Lord," they said to him. Then he touched their eyes and said, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread word of him through all that land. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Here's a little something to give you a heads up. Heads up. Whenever you see the priest wear a color other than purple in a privileged season, like Advent or like Lent, if you see a priest wearing the red, or as the case today, wearing the white instead of the purple, that's a heads up that what you're celebrating is the feast day of a very great saint indeed. And that's the case for today's saint, who I'd like to tell you a little bit about. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Francis Xavier, who's probably the greatest evangelizer since the days of the apostles. You might appreciate knowing a little bit about his life. If you ever try to convince anyone of anything, there's always three stages that you have to pass through first. Three stages. And this is true whether you're trying to sell somebody a product, or whether you're trying to win an argument, or whether you're trying to teach a lesson, and it's certainly the case if you're trying to teach somebody the faith. Three stages that you have to pass through. The first of those is to earn their trust. No one will listen to anything that you have to say if they do not first trust you as a messenger. Many years ago, before I began my assignment as a high school chaplain, a wise old priest sat me down and said to me, "Remember this, you gotta earn the right to teach kids religion." You gotta earn the right, and it's true for everything. First, establish trust. After you've established trust, the second stage is curiosity. You might not realize this, but most people, of everybody really, is walking around day by day, living their lives, an ocean of deep questions that are unanswered, but they just don't know where to turn to get the answers. If they establish you as being a trustworthy, incredible source, they'll begin to open up with all kinds of probing questions about what's right, what's wrong, what happens to us after we die, all the things that matter most. And if you can give reasonable answers, well, then the third stage is finally openness. Now you can finally begin to teach somebody something. Once they trust you, once they see that you have credible answers to their deep questions, you can finally begin to teach somebody something. And you know the greatness of the saints is they mastered that first stage. And the reason why they mastered it was simply because of the power of their own holiness. Something about a holy soul that's instantly and immediately credible. This was the secret of Francis Xavier, who, as I said, probably the most effective evangelizer since the days of the apostles. He evangelized India and Sri Lanka and Indonesia and Japan and the islands outside China. And this in the 16th century, days in which travel to such places was about as practical as travel to the moon. You know how long it took Francis Xavier to get from his native Spain to reach the port of Goa in India for the first time? How long it took him? 2 years. 2 years one way. A little something to remember next time you're lodged in traffic, right? Or next time your flight is delayed. So here's Francis Xavier, who, by the way, had a gift for languages that was so extraordinary that it was credited to him as being a miracle. He went from culture to culture, speaking. I mean, you think it's hard to learn French, or you think it's hard to learn Portuguese. You know, try learning Japanese. You know, or Taiwanese, or any of these truly foreign languages. Francis Xavier would show up in these lands within a short amount of time. He would not only know the language, he'd be arguing theology to the native speakers. It was kind of credited to him as a miracle, but the greatest gift that he had was this force of holiness. Interesting thing about his life, his life follows that of so many other saints. He was born in greatly privileged circumstances, born in the year 1506, into a very wealthy Spanish family, deeply connected with Spanish nobility. Francis Xavier was literally born in a castle. A man who wanted for nothing at all, went to the finest schools, and yet, in spite of all of his privileges, he found it all to be so very, very empty. And one day he happened to be glancing over a passage from the Gospel according to St. Mark, when his eyes fell upon the words, "What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world, but lost his immortal soul?" He began to pray. And he decided that he wanted to become a priest and join the brand new Jesuit order, so new that he was a personal friend of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And he did this in a time in which the church, to all external appearances, was almighty and invincible. It had magnificent cathedrals and universities and institutions, and all up and down the land, as far as you traveled, everybody was Catholic. This is before the days of the Protestant Reformation. Everybody was Catholic, at least in name only, when the church was actually decaying and dying from the inside out. But it's just in such times that God raises up great saints. And he experienced a call within a call. As he was reading from the book of Genesis, the story of the call of Abraham, which God said to Abraham, "Go now from your land, your native place, to a land that I will show you." Didn't even know where he was going. Francis was inspired, volunteered to go to the missions, greatest missionary of all, volunteered to go to the missions, and wouldn't you believe it, he was denied. His application to go teach in the missions was denied. He was turned down. He was said to be unqualified. You know what happened next? The guy who was ahead of him in line to go to the missions fell deathly ill. And wouldn't you know it, next guy in line was Francis Xavier. Because it just goes to show you that when God wants something to happen, he provides the means. Never let your faith waver. But when Francis showed up in India, Sri Lanka, Indonesia, all these places, he didn't begin by teaching people the Ten Commandments and telling them there'd be a quiz the next day. He didn't begin that way. No, he established trust. You know what he did? First thing he did was he went to very poorly, partially catechized, well-connected and respected people, and he taught them the faith. Then they spoke well of Francis. And as soon as they spoke well of Francis, people began to talk to Francis, who won people over with his quick smile and his quick laugh. It was the power of his own holiness. And Francis Xavier, they say, over the course of just a few years, baptized, some people say they baptized 80,000 people. 80,000 people, souls, and an army of souls won over to God simply from one man who said yes. Now, the reason why I talk about Francis Xavier today is because the work of evangelization is more urgent in our own time than it was in his. And it's also much harder. Francis Xavier was sent to try to evangelize a pre-Christian or a non-Christian world. You and I, we're trying to evangelize a post-Christian world. And it's like the difference between trying to win over a lady who doesn't know you, right, to go out on a first date, to trying to win back a divorcee. It's much more difficult than it was for Francis Xavier. But the most important tool that we have in our arsenal is also the most effective one that Francis used. And that's the power of our own holiness. It's not the only tool, but it's the most important one. Pope John Paul II said, far more important than the church's institutions, important as our institutions are, far more important than the church's resources, important as our resources are, far more important than all of these is the force of our own holiness. If you want to try to win anyone back to Christ, step number one is draw close to Christ yourself. Because the times in which we're living are just as bad, probably worse, than the times in which Francis Xavier was living. And once again, when things are at their worst, God raises up saints. So why not you, right? Why not you? You can look around at the world and you can complain about this and you can complain about that until you breathe your dying breath. It's never, ever going to be everything that we hope that it would be. But we have the same blessings now that any of the saints have. We have God's grace.
We have the Eucharist, we have the sacraments, and we have the prayers of the saints to help us, right? Prayers that we'll call upon today and every day as we pray. St. Francis Xavier, pray for us.